Hallelujah. How many of you trust him this morning? How many of you trust him this morning? How many of you know you can't see your way through sometimes and you don't know where this thing is going, but you just learned that I trust him? How many of you know that, Lord, I'm in some dire circumstances right now, Lord, things that seem to, Lord, be going the way that I desire them, oh God. It seems like things are passing me by, Lord. It seems like I'm stuck in a situation. I'm stuck in a mold. But how many of you know that you trust him this morning? That you trust him? Like, I don't know exactly how this thing is going to work out, but Lord, I know you said you never see the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Lord, I know that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that strengthen us. Lord, I know, Lord Jesus, pandemic on one side, protests on another. Lord, they still shooting people in the streets, oh God. But Lord, you told me that you'll never leave me, nor would you forsake me, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know, Lord, that you got my back. Lord, I know, Lord Jesus, despite what I see, despite the circumstances that are around me, oh God, that late in the midnight hour, Lord, that you are able to turn around and that it's going to work in my favor. Lord Jesus, I am reminded, Lord Jesus, that promotion ain't come from the east or the west or the north or the south, but that promotion comes from you, oh God. Lord Jesus, that which you put up, oh God, let no man take down, oh God. That which you raise, oh God, that you put there, Lord Jesus, and you've done it by your good hand, your good will, Lord. I know in Jeremiah, you tell me, no good thing will you hold from me, oh God, that you want me to have good success, oh God, and to be prosperous, oh God. And I thank you, Lord. How many of you are thankful this morning? As we come out of worship this morning, how many of you are just thankful, 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 because things could have been so much worse. Things could have been a different way, but he's been good to us. Hallelujah. Even if you're aching a little bit in your body, you got a little sickness and pain, but if you are still on this side, if you're still breathing good, God, clean air, how many of you know you just got to say, I thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thankful this morning, church. I don't know about you, but I am thankful and thankful, 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 so thankful to God for him being so good to us, for he's been better to us than we have been to ourselves. Good morning, brothers and sisters of the Most High God. Welcome to the Safe House Church, where I get to serve as your pastor, Dr. Peter Ely. Notice that I get to serve. Amen. It's a privilege to be able to serve God's people. I know sometimes, you know, it's not the most pleasant thing. Sometimes things happen. I'm human. Sometimes things get on my nerves and people get on my nerves and situations come to shake us all. But at the end of the day, it is a privilege. And I count it a privilege because you could have been anywhere else. Amen. You know, I tell people all the time, situation's not right. You vote with your feet. Amen. I have done voting with my feet and I encourage you. Amen. So if this is not the place for you, amen, I get it. That means there's somebody else. But for those it is, if for those God has called to this place, those who anointing has been called to this place, good morning and welcome again, visitors, those on social media. So glad to have you here with us again on a beautiful Sunday morning here at the Safe House Church in the beautiful city of Greensboro, North Carolina. So many things have gone on this week, but God is good. Amen. I just keep getting the praise reports. You all don't know. If you're not in there, you all are missing out on that morning praise. Amen. That morning, every morning, Monday through Friday, we have 6 a.m. prayer on the Zoom call. It's a private space, and because we get it in. Amen. You know, we pray. You know, we do our best to pray down the fire from heaven like Elijah. Amen. And, you know, and it might not be fire just yet. It might be some sparks, but God is moving. He's changing some things. Young lady's mother, we've been praying for, Sister Banks. Amen. She came in with us and you know, she came in, I think, through Sister Lee, and she started coming in on the prayers and she came in with some requests for, you know, her mother, her father, because they had, you know, gotten sick with COVID. Amen. And they were in the hospital and they weren't sure how this thing was going to turn out. And you know what? We started praying and praying and praying. And you know what? God, you know, heard from us and it was in his will, and God turned that thing around, and they sent me pictures, and she is home. She got off the ventilator and she is home. Oh, come on, somebody. That's something to praise God for. Why? Because you and I, probably all of us know people who went in to hospital with COVID and they put them on that ventilator. It was downhill. I buried one or two people just this year. When they put them on that ventilator, that's usually like the last straw. But God saw fit to bring her off the ventilator, and she is at home, amen. And God is what? He's doing some things, amen. He's doing some things. But I would say, what? By faith, these things are possible. So her faith, and I was telling her, I was like, she was thinking, I said, it's nothing that we've done. All we did is brothers and sisters will what? Stand there in faith with you. You had the faith to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and say, let me get on this prayer call. You had the faith to get on that prayer call with us and believe that God was going to turn it around with no promises of anything, but us reaching heaven on your behalf and God turned it around. I believe God is going to do something in that young lady. Amen. She's doing something already in the family and God's already touched her. And I'm looking forward one day when we get back in the doors of the Safe House Church here in Greensboro, I'm looking forward for her to come through that door one day. Amen. I'm just anticipating the moment. Just the kind of thing y'all God does. We don't have a monopoly on him. You know, I serve him just like you do. We don't have a monopoly on him. She's not a member of our church. We told people, you don't have to be a member of the church. Prayer is for everybody. So if you want to come in on that, I encourage you the same way that you get on the Zoom call, the same way you go to our website, there's a link there. Click on that link. Join us at 6 a.m. We do not go long. We go from 6 o'clock to 6:30. Amen. And we put the prayer request in and we have an order of prayer that we try to give some kind of outline to the prayer. And we put that in there and we go in. Amen. And there was others. We had some other testimonies of COVID. Sister Garcia, we put her before the God and God brought out, you know, God has just been doing some amazing things that others he's been keeping through their sicknesses and things that they've been struggling with. And God is just opening up doors. He said the prayers, the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Amen. And, you know, he'll do all these things according to those will, according to all of us who are called, what, according to his purpose. So remember, it's got to be purpose. And God has a purpose in everything that he does. So for those who first time here at Safe House Church, we work off three principles. We believe that God has called us to here in this particular part of the vineyard. We call it DEA, discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship meaning that we're going to teach you the word of God. We're going to walk with you. We're going to talk with you. The empowerment that we're going to put you in position, allow you to exercise and use your gifting. This is how things, this is how you get better. Amen. This is not a space where you just come in and say, hey, you know, let me go ahead and just find me a seat on the pew. We're not that type of church. You know, we got to put our hands to the plow. Amen. He told us to be what? Be occupied until he comes. So we have work that we have to do. Amen. And then after that, we walk into what? Accountability. With all this work and things that you're doing, there must be what? Some accountability there. We must have accountability. You can't just do any and everything you want to do because you want to do. I am accountable to the church. Amen. My church members, no, they can call. There's something going on. Pastor Elam runs a transparent ship. I am accountable to them in this space. Why? Because this is not mine. I work for God. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to believe that I was working this whole time and was working for free because I was messing up and I was doing wrong and I was not doing right by God's people. Amen. So I am accountable to them. They are accountable to me. And in this space, the Bible says like this, the iron sharpens iron. And, you know, the iron, you know, us sharpening one another to keep our countenance wise so we can fight so that we can trust God and ward off the wiles of the devil. Amen. Because they will come. I ask that you all continue to pray for me. Pray for me this week. I got a long week. Got several different things going on. In fact, and just oddly enough, y'all, obviously, you know, the different protests that are going on right here in North Carolina, in Elizabeth City. And those of you all who know me and know me well know that I have very strong ties to Elizabeth City. Not only did I went to college there, but I do a lot of work there at the university. And I know a great deal of number of people there. And it just so happened that I have to go there tomorrow. I had to go there for some business for the university. So you all pray for me because I know they're protesting in the streets and whatever. And, you know, when you're in that space, you just don't know. So we ask the God that his hand be upon us. We'll go over to the school and do the things that we need to do and get on back. I'm going to go down early. I got a room. So as soon as I saw this thing popping off, I went ahead and got my room because, you know, people flock to this kind of thing. So they'll book up all the rooms and this kind of stuff. I'm anticipating getting in late because I got a long day on Monday, but I'm getting there late Monday night. Amen. Do what I got to do on Tuesdays and get right back in the car and come back. Yep. Pastor, I know I'm a road warrior is what they call it. I burn some miles. I easily do 1,000 miles a week, you know, but it is what it is. Amen. But y'all just pray for us that we be mindful and that God would keep his hand on us and bring us back safely. Amen. So, you know, God is good. Amen. God is good. And I'm just so grateful. You know, he's been opening up so many doors and so many different things. And this has been a season. How many of y'all know this has been a season of blessings and trouble at the same time? I don't know about you, but I've been looking and I've been thinking, you know, I've been troubled a lot. I have, you know, and I'm human. I have my set of issues too, you know, on top of the things that we care for the church and individuals and whatever the case may be. But at the same time, it seems like as much trouble, God has given me is just as much blessing. So it seems like every time you get a blessing here, here's some more trouble. But I'm reminded that what things in nature have to have a balance. Amen. And we also have to have a balance. Why? Because if we're imbalanced, then we become not as effective at what God has called us to do and what he needs us to do. And he's put us here to do. Are you happy in Jesus this morning? All right, so go ahead and reach out to somebody and tell them, hey, Pastor Ely is on and he's about to bring in the word today. How many of you know sometimes we go through life and we have these things that we call moving targets? Amen. I want to talk to us today about this thing called a moving target. And I don't know about you, but moving targets are incredibly frustrating to me. And we find them in our lives. So remember, this month we've been on our family. You know, this whole year we are on reimagining God. So reimagining God, what do you mean? Reimagine the space, right? Reimagine how you first met him. You know, because the way you met him is typically the way that you deal with him. Amen. But then when you go back and realize that God is so much more than what I've been dealing with, I would have been seeing 1% of him. I would have been seeing 5% of him when God has another 95% out there that you haven't tapped. Why? Because, you know, you only can see him in this one space. You only see him in this one vein. But there's so many more things that he can do. Let me break it down a little bit for you. It's kind of like, I mean, how many of you know you have older cousins or relatives? And I know I do. And in my family, my name is Peter, and I was named after my grandfather. So typically most people call me, and I could tell you if it was somebody from home, they would call me Little Peter, right? So my grandpa was a big Peter, and I was Little Peter, even though I was much bigger than he is, where he was and whatever. But I would always be Little Peter. And you know, even after I became a full-grown man, I was still Little Peter. Not that nothing was little about me, but it was the way that people saw you. This is why I believe, you know, the Bible talks about that, you know, prophets without honor except where? In his own hometown. Why is he not honored in his own hometown? Because people remember them for what they were, not for what they are now. Oh, come on. That was a word right there for somebody if I don't say nothing else. People have a tendency to remember you for what you were versus what you are right now. See, some of us, we've been through some things. Some of you have been out there with mischiefs or whoredom. Some of you have been out there in all kinds of things and homosexuality, and then you've been, you know, and then you, some of you were drinkers, some of you were drug users, some of you, you know, were thieves. You know, come on, somebody, you know, it's tell the truth. Some of you are liars, and you know, some people say some of you still there, amen. But nonetheless, some of you find yourself in all of this stuff, but we have a God who delivers, and he's delivered us from these things. So now when people see you, like, oh, here come old line Susan, or here come old line Tom. But no, they don't know that what you've turned. Remember, we talked about in Bible study this week. We was in the Acts, we in the book of Acts, and then they talk about us to repent. Repent means to what? Turn away. You turn away into another direction. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all with me? So as you turn away and you turn into that different direction, then what? Now you got a new path. Why are you going in a different direction? Because you're going to go and you're going to be buried with him. And then what? The power of the Holy Ghost rises you up. Amen. So I'm not going to get in teaching mode. We talked about that last week. So again, reimagining God. So with that, every month we had a focus. And on the month of April, we've been focusing on the family. So today's message is number 3 out of 4, family life. Family life. So so far we've dealt with various ones. So far, let me pull up anything real quick just to remind me of who we were so we can have the context of where we're going. Amen. How many of you have been enjoying this series? So we started out with Cain and Abel with "You Jealous, Bruh?" And we talked about Cain and Abel, how Cain slayed Abel and why he slayed Abel and the thing about that. And we spoke to things of jealousy and like, hey, you don't have to be jealous if you do well. You know, God told Cain, if you had done as well as he had, then I would have accepted your offering. But God did not accept his offering. So, you know, that was an issue. Then we talked about last week on Esau and Jacob, two brothers. Esau and Jacob, they're what, fighting in the womb, and Jacob gets his birthright, amen. And you know, so we talked about, I get it, I got it. If I got it, we got it. That was our last week. Was, I got it, we got it. I got it, we got it. And this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about Rachel and Leah. Now, I did at first title this, We Birthed a Nation. We birthed a nation, but God's been dealing with me, and I went back and we changed it up. And this story has a lot in it. It's a very, very heavy story. It could be a very heavy message, amen. But we don't want to do it justice. And I think we'll say that part for a different time. But we want to focus on another part in the same story, amen. This is why the Bible, I call the Bible the never-ending story. Because it never ends. Why? Because you and I are writing chapters to it right now. Do y'all realize that? That you and I are writing chapters to this thing right now as we speak. So one we call that moving targets. And our focus today will be more on Jacob. So if you notice here, all these things tie. And these are what? Family problems. We all have families. We all, whether we like them or whether we love them or whether we hate them or whether we don't want to deal with them, we all have family. We all come from somewhere. Amen. You have a church family. You know, I have a what I call a work family. I have a, you know, a fishing family. I have families all over. Families is what this group of gathering that we have this common peace among us. You know, the natural family, you have the common way. That you have maybe common parents, amen, or that you do share one, at least one parent. But this is where we're going at today. So would you turn with me? We got a little bit of reading to do. Like I said, just thanking God again. Also, Safe House, I want to remember the women at the well. That group is going on strong. I'm so proud of what the women at the well are doing. I'm so proud of Sister Hicks. God is just... You know, I was praying. You all know that we started out as a church plant. You just my wife and myself, and then God sent us the Jordans, and they sit there and they labor with us, and we're just so grateful for them being willing to labor with us. And they could have gone somewhere else. Amen. You know, it's, you know, in the beginning, it's hard to get something started because people want to see people, right? So you know, it's kind of like, you know, I heard this analogy the other day. It was talking about how people go to the club, and I remember when I was out there in fraternity and doing my thing or whatever, and you know, because I didn't, you know. I've been saying most of my life, but you know, I still did my thing or two. And I remember the party, we almost had to let people in for free because people wanted to go in there. They only wanted to go to a party when they already saw people down. That's just like people, right? We only want to do things when we see everybody else is doing it. do you see what I'm saying? So what happens is then, you know, you have to let some people in free. And then if all the people are in free, that's why that ladies in before 10 came from. Ladies in for free before 10. Why? Because they wanted to be a full of ladies and then the guys would come. And other people would come because they see people in there, which makes it like it's the it thing. So I say that to say when you start out in ministry and you don't leave with a congregation, you know, some people get sent out and they have others with them. And I believe, you know, God has called us out and he's been blessing us ever since. Amen. We're going on year three. God is, you know, blessing us. You know, they said at the 5-year mark, you know, but I'm looking at the 5-year mark and, you know, I'm not going to put any time limit on God. You know, amen. We just going to go as long as he tells us to go. And when he says sit down, I guess I'll shut up and sit down if he says time to sit down. But if not, let's go. You know, I even am encouraged, you know, that I think what T.D. Jakes said that he was 7 years and they didn't have anybody. And then in year seven, things just turned around. So what if he would have quit at 5? So, you know, I don't know. I'm not going down that road today. But God has been good. And I mean, we're growing. Amen. You know, by leaps and bounds. And I'm just so grateful. But I said that to say because I was asking God for some laborers. And the Bible said, what? The harvest is great. And it is a great harvest. We're in a time now, people's hearts are ripe for the picking, but the laborers are few. And you know, what's the thing about a laborer? A laborer is somebody who's come in and they ready to put their hands to work. A lot of times, you know, we go to churches to be served. We go, a lot of times we go to sit down and say, okay, what can I get out of this? What can I be fed? Feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. And I get it, you know? But even as the laborer, what? The laborer comes in there with the attitude that, yes, I'm gonna be fed because a good work, you know, a good, owner will take care of his workers. Amen. And those who support us know that I do my best to try to take care of you all. But also at the same time, they come in there to work. That's what it's called. So I was praying, God said, Lord, send us laborers. And when I mean laborers in the church means that these are people typically who are already saved. You know, we don't have to, you know, carry them in the labor of them getting saved and them, you know, they already understand biblical principle. They know how to, you know, they know the importance of tithing and all these things, you know, but they still need their daily substance, right? We all need that. But when so a laborer by definition is somebody who already is, you know, sustained, but they looking for somewhere to, you know, to get their work to get paid. Amen. So here in the, you know, in our time, what is these are people who come to the church who already say maybe there's some, you know, they transition from other ministries or whatever, for whatever reason, or God has put on their heart, I need you over there. And these are what these laborers do. And they come in, they help our ministry. And who knows, you know, at some point, laborers are laborers. When the work here is done, and hopefully, like I said, the work is never done, but, you know, if God tells them it's time to move on, I understand and I release them. Amen. So we don't hold people here. You know, I want you to be happy wherever it is you go. Amen. But we want you to be happy while you're here as reasonably as possible. I don't preach to make people happy. I preach God's word.
And if that so happens to make you happy, then fantastic. Amen. I know a lot of churches are thinking that we built off personalities and this stuff. Well, you know, I like to think I have a pretty good personality, but we're built off the word of God. And the safe house by saying is what? It's a safe place. Amen. And we want a place to be safety. So I said all to say, I continue to pray God for laborers, and he's continuing to send us. And as we come up with more and more strategies, how to get out here. So this is how the women at the well started. So, you know, once Hicks had joined us, she was saying that God had given her this burden, and, you know, and God had already made it well in my soul and said, release her and let her do it. So now, as we talk about here, we just don't pay a lip service. What do we say? We empower people. Discipleship. Mm-hmm. So she's under our discipleship here. So we're working with her, and then we empower her. How do we empower her? The church paid for a setup. Oh, come on, somebody. She'll tell you. You know, she's the pastor. I want to do it. I have a desire to do it, but I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. Okay, fine. We'll make sure that you know how to do it. Amen. So then we went in and we was able to train. We bought, you know, equipment. The church bought computers, cameras, all the stuff that she would need to have a setup, because we want things to be done well. If you notice our camera and our setup, we do our best to project a very clean image that you can be proud of and also be able to hear what God is saying. So we wanted to do the same thing with her. Amen. No, it just didn't start with me that we look good here, but then we look like whatever any other time. Amen. So I'm just so grateful that she was willing to learn and work in that space. And now God is opening up that space. The ladies are gathering and they're learning more and more and more and more. And I'm just so grateful. I'm looking forward to them. I'm just waiting for them to ask, hey, Pastor, we want to go on a retreat. We want to go do this. You know, I'm saying, let's do it. Let's do it, because I'm all for it. Why? Because I won't. The Bible says this. He said, the older women are to what? Teach the younger women. Oh, I know I'm old school. I'm it's just old school apostolic in me. I can't help it, y'all. But that's what the word says. It said the older women ought to teach the young women how to, to take care of their homes. Now, notice he never said told them to love their husband. It's a good thing you love them, because he only told the man to love the wife. But, you know, women are what they replicate that which they're given, right? So if the husband is loving the wife, then the wife will love him. So that goes without saying. But, you know, looking forward to them to continue to grow and strengthen, because there's some things that only women can help and talk with and deal with. So we're just so grateful in that space. Now, my men's space, we got to do better. We're struggling there a little bit. So I'm going to pull it for right now. So women at the well still meeting every Monday at 7 a.m. But the men, we're going to put a pause in that. I'm going back to the drawing board, rethink some things on how we're going to do this. I don't know if it's the time or this or the time of day or whatever, but we try to do our best. What I've learned with people is the more you make things convenient, the more they seem to can't do it. I just learned. So at some point in time, you just got to stick it out there and do it when they do it. And if they come, great. And if they don't, then hey, you know what? You've done what you believe God has told you to do. So, you know, we got to be careful with the people pleasing business, because the more I find that we try to do that, the more we get ourselves in trouble. All right, that's enough for me talking. All right, I'm going to go to Genesis. How many of those say God is good? I want you to say right now in your home, say God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. We want to turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 29th chapter. Let me see if I can get a switch here, get this thing on for you today. Genesis, the 29th chapter. And I'm already on share screen. Oh, I got to switch screens here. Genesis, the 29th chapter. And here we go. Genesis, 29th chapter. And we want to go to verse 10. Genesis 29 chapter, verse 10. Genesis 29 chapter, verse 10. See if I can get this thing to act a little better here. Sometimes this thing wants to adjust. Sometimes with these websites, they don't adjust just right, but I think I got it now. Here we go. All right, Genesis 10, and it says this. You have your Bibles, read with me. And it says the following. Let me get this out of the way. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, the sheep of Laban's his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel, and he lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet her and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said unto him, surely thou art bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thou wages be? All right, so here real quickly, I want you to get what's going on here. So here he's asking him to, hey, I want to marry your daughter. He's asking for his daughter's hand in marriage. See, I know this is kind of old school. Some people don't even do this anymore. But he's asking for the daughter's hand in marriage. If you understand, marriage is a business arrangement. I often tell people, what love got to do with it? I know people don't want to hear that, but it's the honest God truth. Marriage is a business arrangement. This is why you have to go down to the courthouse and you have to file it in the courthouse. It is a business document. Yes, is you know, and it's a business arrangement. It just says simply this, that I'm with you and you're with me. Mm-hmm. And we're going to grow together. So now what I have is yours and what you have is mine. This is why you go downtown and you file this stuff. You know, some people come up with these prenuptial agreements and all this, but we're not going to go there today. So here what he's asking him, you know, for this marriage. And he said, okay, well, I will let you marry her, but hey, I need to be paid. So what? The son here actually has to pay the father to get the daughter's hand in marriage. Why is this? Because what? You look at Laban. Laban's a man of wealth. Laban has all these sheep. He has things. He has property. He has land. And think about it. What happens is, if something happens to Laban, this stuff is what? Passed down through the lineage, right? And if it's passed down to the daughters, then the daughters now own that. But whoever the daughter is married to, it automatically becomes the husband. So it's now their stuff. Are y'all with me? So if you're going to come in here and you're going to marry my daughter, you're going to be worth it. Amen. And not only are you going to be worth it, but you're going to also be able to pay the price to have her hand in marriage. So here, what? You know, some people say, I married up. This is an honest to God true thing. One can actually marry up. And marry up in the sense that what? His wealth and things increase because of who he marries. So, all right, so this is what's going on here. So he's asking him to marry the daughter. All right, and the Bible says this. I'm going to verse 29 and 16. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. So here he has two daughters. Now watch this. This is important. It's significant. So please keep in mind, you have Leah. And Rachel, he has two daughters. So he has two daughters to pass these things down to. We don't hear of a son here. So that means that the daughters are going to get these things. And watch this. And the Bible said, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. You know, the Bible, the authors of the Bible had and this being Moses, you know, was believed to have written the first five books, called the Pentateuch. And that's very colorful. I ain't gonna say colorful language, but very interesting language. So instead of just calling her ugly, he calls her tender eye. So I would like to think, it's a good to laugh. You know, the Bible calls her tender eye. So I guess to be tender eyed is to be not attractive. So she was not the most attractive thing, but on the hand, Rachel was drop dead gorgeous. She was supermodel gorgeous, right? And watch it, and was beautiful and well favored. Not only that she was beautiful, but she was favored. Remember, we talk about favor, you know, some people say well favored. That means she had all the assets, as we would call them. She had, you know, 26 Coke bottle shape, whatever your kind is, she had all of that. But also, but we talk about favor when we say well favored, meaning that what she has access. Let's be honest. The truth of the matter is that sometimes people who are pretty or people who are beautiful or who anesthetically are pleasing to folk, they have access. Mm-hmm. You know, I know very few beautiful women who want to be married that are not married. There's some that exist. I'm not gonna sit here and say, you know, it's exhaustive. You know, but beautiful people get access. They just do. You know, it doesn't seem fair, but God has a way of working things out. But anyway, but you know, at the same time, she didn't ask for her beauty. That was a gift from God. You know, I don't know about you, but if you got beauty, Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. All right, so then he goes on, he says this. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, the younger daughter. Now, I found it interesting here. He tells him that his wages, he said, look, this is what I give you. I give you 7 years of my labor. So here, barter, you know, big thing. You know, money is nothing but a barter system anyway. It's just a easier way for us to be able to barter and be able to transport our barter. So here he's bartering his what? His labor. Mm-hmm. So you what? Labor is what? It's critical. This country, the United States, was built off what? Free labor. Oh, it is what it is. Amen. And, you know, because it was built off free labor, it was able to prosper a lot quicker than other countries because, what? It didn't have to pay its workers. But I digress. All right, so then he goes on and says, and he says this. He said, and Labor said, it would be better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man to abide with me. So he said, what? Yeah, it's better for me to let her marry than her just hang out here with me. So then he goes on and he says this. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Didn't seem but a few days because of the love that he had to her. Do you not know when you when you want something so bad, when you want something so you're so laser focused in on it, that it don't seem like it was that long? I don't know about you, but times that I've seen I've been out and I've been enjoying myself, whatever the case may be, whether I'm out fishing or I'm at a ball game or I'm just out having a good time with my wife and children, it seems like the time just goes really fast. Have y'all ever noticed that? Maybe it's just me. So when you're serving in time, and we notice that we think this time and stuff kind of goes by pretty fast. So here, not only he's doing labor, he's working, and he's blessing Labor's house, and Labor's house is blessed because of Jacob's hand, but he's also noticed that the time went by pretty fast. So how do you let time go by fast at your job? And how you let time go by fast? You got to enjoy what you do. You got to enjoy it. Now watch this. This is where things get a little dicey. All right. Verse 29, 21. Here we go. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. So here, what? Give me my wife. Let me time. It's time for me to get, you know, as we say, my groove on. This is my lady. I didn't earn her. I did everything you asked me to do. Let me go. And watch this. Watch what happens. And Laban agreed together all the men of the place and made a feast. He gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. So here, what? They have a big dinner party. Laban has a plan. How many of you know that even after you've done what you're supposed to do? How many of you know even after you did everything they asked you to do, you jumped every hoop they asked you to jump through, you did everything that you knew to do, that sometimes in the middle of the game, they change the rules? No, Laban had a plan here. Laban had no intention of giving Jacob what he desired initially. Watch this. And he goes on and says this. And he says in verse 23, and it says, and it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went unto her. So what does he do? So he has a dinner party. They celebrating this marriage. They're having a party. You know, they're having a good time. They're having a party. He's telling him, hey, congratulations, da, da, da. And they get it to the point that he gets them drunk. They get him drunk. He's inebriated. So remember, I always tell you all, you know, I know some people, you know, they have their say on that stuff, but you shouldn't touch it. Why? Because it changes your judgment. If you're under the influence, you know, we hear about, you know, we don't believe in drinking that. You know, I don't believe in partaking in the alcohol beverages. And I know some churches allow that, but I just don't believe in it. And it's part of who we are. Amen. It is what it is. But when you get in partake of this stuff, it causes in your judgment to be impaired. That's why they call it under the influence impairment. And here now what? Jacob's judgment has been impaired. He's so drunk to the fact that he don't even know who is in the bed beside him. So what the father-in-law does is he sneaks Leah in the bed with Jacob. And Jacob has sex with her. So now Jacob thinking, oh, great. I'm finally with my wife. Yada, yada, yada. And, you know, think about biblical times. It's dark. You know, maybe, you know, I don't even know if candles, you know, maybe they had a candle, a lantern or something. Who knows? But this situation was, you know, dark. He's drunk. He's getting it in. And that's all he knows, right? Now watch this. 24 says, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for an handmaid. Okay. And it came to pass in the morning. Somebody say in the morning. I know it's a lot right now, but I'm getting somewhere. And in the morning, behold, because see, in the morning is when you find out what you didn't did. In the morning, you know, see, some of you be thinking, you know, this is what the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes where? In the morning. In the morning is when things are renewed. In the morning is when things change over. In the morning is when that impairment leaves. Mm-hmm. It says, and in the morning it came to pass, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Where hast thou beguiled me? What? Why has that fooled me? Why has that tricked me? Now, remember, if we remember from last week, remember, Jacob did the same thing. He took his brother's birthright. He tricked, you know, his mother supported him, and they tricked his father into what? Taking the birthright. So just mind you, the same way you get some of these things, if you're getting these things through ill-gotten gains, if you're cheating people, if you're ganging people, if you think you're getting over, I'm here to tell you today, you're not getting over. All you're doing is delaying the inevitable. All you're doing is delaying that which is already going to come back to you. Get it together. Fix it. There's hope. Watch this. And he goes on. He says this. And Laban said unto him, it must not be done in our country. What does he do? He goes to tradition. How many of you know sometimes tradition keeps moving the target? Tradition keeps moving this thing. Tradition keeps, you know, somebody said, oh, well, I grew up in spaces sometimes like, well, when you come to the church, you can't do anything until you get saved. All right, once you get saved, you can sing in the choir, and you might can do this, and you might do that. We have, you know, and I know in this day and time now, you know, there's mixed messages about why you should do this and why you shouldn't do that. But also at the same time, you know, it's like, well, I know it's one or two things that the Bible speaks about when you person first getting saved, what they shouldn't do. He said, if they first get saved, don't rush them to the pulpit. That's biblical. That's word for that. I can give you scripture and verse for that. He said, don't let them be in a rush to go preach. But anything else, for the most part, he said, let them serve. Because we understand we are people, and especially, you know, people of color and minorities in the space, you know, and shout out to all the white people who watch me also, you know, white, Caucasian, however you want to, it is what it is. Amen. I love them and I love them dearly. But, you know, this space for people of color was a space that they get, you know, we know they traditionally gathered to be able to pass messages and talk to one another and see others from other places. Why? Because this is the only time they got to socialize. So this is why even to this day, traditionally, that church is a social, almost a social organization. Even now, you think about the 60s when all the movements and things happen. They happen when? They happen because of the church. So conversation was sparked at church. This is why we see the leaders of most of our leaders were who? They were preachers. Most of the people who found colleges were preachers. Most of the people who were, you know, your earlier politicians, they were all preachers. These are facts, right? All right, so go on and watch this. So he said he gave, you know, Rachel, he said he fulfilled her. Remember, but let me hold on, I'm off. Jacob tricked, you know, he tricked. So now that trick is what? It's come all the way back around full circle, all right? So he said to them, he said, they beguiled me. And he said, and Laban said, it must be not done in our country. So he goes on with his tradition. And remember, I was saying in the traditional church, that is, it came back. Then traditional church, we couldn't do these things. He said, to give the younger before the firstborn. So the younger one could not be married before the firstborn. Now, if Jacob would have done his research, if Jacob would have fully investigated the area, he would have found out that he could not marry her first. Now, I find it interesting that what? Laban knew this all along. Do you not know that sometimes there's places and situations that you find yourself in, you're here and you're doing this, and they have hidden rules to the game? They have hidden rules here. They have hidden rules there. And you're thinking, okay, I'm going to do this to get in here. Sometimes here in the United States of America, we say, okay, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save my money. And only to get there and get to the mortgage company, and they deny you. Why are they denying me? Or they give you, you know, they give you, why are they giving me less? I have this, I have this, I have that. And then they find, oh, no, but you did this. Nobody told me that. Or I didn't know about that. Or you did that. Or I didn't know about this. I didn't know about that. Or there's a red line drawn around your neighborhood. Oh, come on, somebody. Hey, this is stuff I teach. Amen. It is what it is. Because it's the truth. And the Bible said the truth will set you free. So, you know, they draw red lines around your neighborhood and say, oh, can't get that kind of money over here. Or they'll let you move into certain areas, certain neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. or they discourage you from certain things. The rules of the game are different. For individuals who have wealth and they have power, they work on a different score sheet. You thinking you got money, they ain't worried about money. They worried about, you know, keeping score in other ways. Oh, y'all with me? I'm going somewhere with this. We're talking about moving targets today. So then he goes on and he says this in verse 29. And he said, all right, so this is what I'm going to do. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou hast served with me yet a 7 years, another years. Yet 7 other years. So watch this. He said, serve me another 7 years. All right, so watch this. Now we have Jacob. He wanted this one. He wanted one woman. He wanted Rachel. But for him to get Rachel, now he has to serve another 7 years. I don't know about you, but how many of you all would have walked away after the first 7? After the first 7, after you got tricked into taking the ugly sister, that's what it is, because of tradition, how many of you would have walked away? That's a self question. Watch this. And then what? And then he says, fulfill her week, and Laban gave Rachel his daughter Bilhah and his handmaid to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him 7 other years. He loved Rachel more than he loved Leah, and served with him other 7 years. Can you imagine for a moment, before I switch screens and get into what I believe God has given me, can you imagine for a moment being the other girl? Can you imagine being Leah in that space, knowing that you've not done anything? All you did was be who God has called you to be, and this was the hand you was dealt. Okay? While you have Jacob at the same time, Jacob being who he wanted to be, and he thought, hey, I want her. It's not my problem that she was not married before. It was not my problem. But we find out later on that God fixes things, because you're going to find out later on that same ugly Leah, she's part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came through her lineage. So you may be ugly. God got a plan. They might be calling you down and out, but God got a plan. See, this is what I was going to go at first, but I believe God has moved me over here to this moving target. So we'll deal with this another time, but there was a plan. If you go on and you read about that Leah, Leah's the same mother of those 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm not going to go there today. But God has a plan. Let's talk about it. Moving targets. How many of you know sometimes the target just keep moving? It seems like the target keeps moving. You find yourself in a place. You find yourself in a situation. You find yourself in circumstances that you're trying to go for. You're trying to do what you got to do. And it seems like every time you think you're almost there, they move the target. Been there? I have several times. And what happens is you find yourself there, and you feel like they keep moving the target, and it becomes a credible point of frustration. An incredible point of intrepidation, a point of just, I've just had enough with this. You know, I'm often reminded that David, you know, the Bible says that David encouraged himself. And sometimes we are in a space, brothers and sisters, it seems like no matter what we do, no matter how far we've gone, how many favors we've done, how many places we you know, how many, like, some babies we've kissed and how many hands we've shaken, it seems like we're just stuck. And it seems like you just cannot go forward. What is the problem? Moving targets. The thing about a moving target is simply this. A moving target is one of those things that, you know, is difficult to do because it requires a lot of different things to happen. A moving target is about timing, the timing of a thing, the timing of a place, the timing of a situation. You know, do you not know the Bible says that what time and chance happens to us all? That you and I are time and chance. You know, I'm the firstborn child of Lemuel and Wanda Ely. Do you not know if my dad built my mother one day earlier or one day less, later, and maybe I don't exist? I'm here because I am a circumstance of time and chance. My mother's body was ovulating at the right time. Her and my father got together at the right time. And I happened to be at the front of the line, I guess. Well, I was one of the ones, but I was the one that made it. You are the one that made it. This is why it's not by accident that you all are here. If you're here, you were intentionally meant to be here because you won the race of billions. If you ain't never won anything else, you won that one. Amen. You're under the sound of my voice and you can hear me. That's one race that you won. Right? So I'm time and chance. Time and chance. The Bible said time and chance happens to us all. Meaning that what? That, you know, you can be doing everything you're supposed to be doing. And sometimes things just don't work out. I only can imagine here that here Jacob comes to labor at a time where his oldest daughter is not married. And he did not know it was not his ever his intent or ever his thing to marry the first daughter. His daughter, but his thing was, I saw what I wanted and I have focusness, singleness of mind, and I focused in on that and I went after that which was before me. Mm-hmm. We're talking about family problems. How many of you know sometimes in your family that, you know, you can be promised things by your family? You can be said, I've seen families get in a situation where they say, well, when I die, you can have this. And then when that person died, all of a sudden now the family's in turmoil and they fighting. And they're fighting over money. They're fighting over cars. They're fighting over houses and all kinds of stuff. And you've not seen the green-eyed monster of jealousy and evil and envy until you've seen a relative die and people fighting over their stuff. You're not seeing that until somebody goes in there and they go to the lawyer's office and they open up that will and they find out that they was left nothing. See, people do these things, why? Because we go into these places and these things. You have to really ask yourself, what is the intent of my purpose here? What is my intent? Is my intent self-serving, or is my intent really to serve this, to be a servant? Are y'all with me? Because see, what happens is our purpose behind the thing is going to determine how we react when things go down, when things don't go the way that we desire them to go. See, Jacob here comes into this with the intent of marrying Rachel. He has everything that he's lined up to what? I'm going to marry Rachel. She's going to be my wife. In fact, I gave him a price and he accepted my price, which was going to be 7 years of my labor at his house. And after 7 years of his labor at his house, then I was going to get his daughter. And what did the man do? He doesn't uphold his end of the bargain. What he does is he moves the target. At some point, he does uphold the end of the bargain. But what he did is the price of it changed. So I want to go a couple of things. Let's see a couple of problems with this text that we see today that you and I see in our lives. That I want to make you mindful of to let you know that there are some moving targets. But I'm going to end with solution to help you understand and know that, well, even though there's some moving targets, there is hope for you and I. I'm not going to be before you long. So go ahead. Number one, change of expectation. A moving target is a change of expectation. I don't know about you, but when I think about, you know, when I wanted to certain things, some of us work jobs and we come in with that job and they hired us with expectancy and expectation. I went into the job thinking I'm going to do this, this, and this. And they brought me here. And when they brought me here with this, so now I walk in thinking this is the work that I'm going to do. How many of you have been brought to a job? You go in there, you start at this one thing, but you end up doing something else. They interviewed you for one thing, but they handed you something else. Oh, come on, somebody. I know individuals who've gone into even professional situations and say, hey, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to make you in charge of this, only to get in there and give them the ugly duckling. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put you in here and this, and you interview and you go in and you interview and you go into this place thinking, okay, this is the work I'm going to do. And this is what I'm going to be happy with because this is what my skill set, you know, is working towards. And so it's fine for me to give you 7 years. So this is why Jacob was able to easily give labor 7 years. Why? Because Jacob said, okay, this works to my advantage. This works to my skill set. This works to the labor that I'm already am. You know, so this is what I do. So for me to do this for my, you know, to get a wife for the rest of my life, this is a small thing for me to do. So what I'm willing to go ahead and do what I got to do. And after 7 years, I'm going to be done. So the Bible talks about what? After 7 years, he did this work. And the Bible said it was like he did it for a day because he was so much in love with what he did, with his skill set, because he knew exactly what it is he was going to do. And he was fine with paying that price. But then he gets there and finds out at the end of the day, there's no payment. Now put yourself in Jacob's situation for a moment. What if you worked the whole month? Like many of us work for the state. They pay us at the end of the month, right? What if you work the whole month and then at the end of the month they come in and Roy Cooper comes over and says, yeah, we can't pay you. I'm going to tell you right now, some of y'all wouldn't be very happy. Now, I find it interesting that the Bible does not give us any detail of how Jacob may have reacted. But, you know, if we have any indication, Jacob was what? A trickster. Now, we know him being a trickster. He was tricking people and all this kind of stuff. So I got to think that he was not very happy about it. He might have went off on some things. He might have said some choice words. He might have knocked over some stuff. Because now he slept with the ugly daughter, the one he didn't want. The job that he wanted was not the job he got. What he was working for, he did not get. And he worked for it. He gave honest day. He gave honest day's work for it. He did it with integrity, which for Jacob, that was a feat. But I believe that God knows what's going on for us, y'all. And I know sometimes, you know, things come and they move and you wonder and say, Lord, what happened? Lord, I was not trying to do this. Lord, I was not trying to be in this space. Lord, how did I get here? But I'm here to tell you today, as we talk about, there is a blessing at the end of this. You know, I think about, I just use myself for example, because I could talk about me and nobody can get mad with me but me. I think about, you know, I became a school teacher. Teaching school was the last thing I wanted to do. I remember, I think I even had the gall to say it. The last thing I ever wanted to do was teach school. And you know what? It ended up being the very first thing that I did. Now, in hindsight, oh, it was absolutely the best decision I could have made. But right then, in my 22-year-old mind, no, I did not want to do that. I wanted to do other things in my life. I wanted to chase other dreams. I wanted to chase other aspirations. I wanted to chase money. Like most people who are 23, 24 years old. I didn't grow up in no significant amount of money. We weren't poor. We had what we needed. We never been on welfare or any of those things. My father did great for that. But we weren't overly rich or nothing like that either. So like everybody, I had to, I'm going to get out of college. I'm going to go make all this money. So I chased these things. And the very thing I said I wasn't going to do is where God put me. In Vance County, back home, teaching middle school for like $26,000 a year with a master's degree. I felt betrayed. Like, Lord, they said if I went to college and I did this, I'm going to get this. And then you start to look around and you see all your classmates and others who went with you. They start to get these jobs in New York and Boston and all these different places. And they making, you know what I'm saying, $75,000, $80,000 out a year. And here I am, got the same thing they have, but no opportunity. Talking about moving targets. Are y'all feeling this morning? Are y'all, can I relate to anybody? Or maybe this is just me. All right. So now you go through all this. So now what? Jacob is serving labor. He's laboring him, but he's enjoying the work. Why? Because he's got a plan. Like, okay, when I'm done with this, I'm going to get. How many of us, we do things with the expectation in mind that, okay, when I'm going to finish, when I get done with this, I'm going to get this. But what happens? He gets done, and he gets another prize to his chagrin, which was what? Leah. But what he doesn't know right now is that Leah, as beautiful as Rachel is, and Rachel is great, and it's nothing she's done, but Leah is really going to be the true prize. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you trust God, believe and know, that even though it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen, even though it didn't go the way you were going to go, ooh, I'm preaching to myself. Just know that he has a plan and he knows far more than you know. His wisdom is far longer than yours. And that what? He has a plan, because you say you want to be used by him, and to be used by him means literally to be used. See, I'm not sure if we want to be used like we said we want to be used. We say, Lord, use me for that servant. I want to be used by you. I want to be a servant unto you. That's what we sing in song. But when God comes in and then people run over you, and when people spitefully use you, you say, oh, no, 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 no. So what is it then? Do you want to be used, or are you just paying lip service to the thing? When they come for you and they do things and they don't treat you well in this space, but you say you want to be used. Why? Because God is using you, because people are looking and say, how can she handle that? Because if that would have happened to me, I would have shot the club up. Mm-hmm.
If what happened to Jacob here happened to me, I would have burned everything that Laban had and been justified in doing it. If that would have happened to me, I would have. You see what I'm saying? Are y'all with me this morning? Say something in the chat. Let me know y'all with me. If you're not, amen. So this is how, because God is what? He's making some out of Jacob. In Jacob, he's developing a nation. He's developing a nation. But I'm here to also tell you today that what? Through this, know that they're moving targets. What is the thing about a moving target? Like I said, is the expectation. You have expectation, right? And with this expectation, unmet expectation leads to frustration. Why are you frustrated? Do you not know you can be so frustrated that it just kind of comes out in everything? Somebody say something, what do you want? You always on edge. Why? Because you know how much time, you know how much energy, you know how much effort you put into a thing only to see it seem like to crumble before you. Only to see it seem like that, you know what, it's not going to happen. It was your life's dream. It was your life's work for this thing to happen. It was your life's plan for this to happen. That I wanted to marry Rachel. And look what happened. I don't even know if I'm going to live another 7 years. I had to think Jacob was thinking that. How do I know another 7 years and now I got to work for some more when it's already be mine? I gave the price. You agreed and now you changed the numbers. This is what happened to us as believers. But I'm here to tell you today that God has a plan. Problem number two here. What is problem number two here with Jacob? Jacob is so laser focused on what he wants. He doesn't see the obvious. How many times have you, brothers and sisters, that we've been so focused on what it is that we want that we miss the obvious? I've had this thing here in the last year, especially since the pandemic has started, that I've been telling myself, enjoy the moment. That's become a personal motto for me. Again, I use me as an example because I don't want to tell anybody else's business. This is the safe house, and we keep it safe. All right? So I can tell my business. When I think about it, God has blessed me tremendously, and I'm very goal-oriented. I am driven, I'm ambitious, all these things. But sometimes God has blessed me really well, and it's done really well. And I don't take them for granted, but it's like, that's okay, because that wasn't the prize. It was like, oh, it was just another stepping stone. It was one of the things I needed to do to get here. Because I'm clear on what the path is. I'm clear on what the direction is. I'm clear on what it is that I have to do to go where I believe I want to go. And it's nice that you have your little plans laid out. Because God reminds me of this all the time. It's nice that you have your little plans made out, Peter, that you want to do this by this time. You want to do this by that time. You want to do that by that time. You want to do that by that time. Cool. Great. Glad you want to do it. Right? But what happens is, do you not know that God has a plan that we have to go? Because see, my prayer, and it's almost like I said, my default prayer is like, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And not just your will, but your perfect will. Remember, I started out this conversation about what? That time and chance happens to us all. Now, what happened is there are some things that I control, but there are many things that God controls. For instance, I control when I got married. I control who I got married to. Those are choices. Those are choices God allowed you to make. I choose what tie and suit I'm going to put on. I ain't got to pray about that stuff. I prayed about my spouse, but at the end of the day, he let me choose. So if I chose a bad one, don't blame God. Blame me. Mm-hmm. If I chose one that didn't meet my standard, don't blame God. Blame me. He allowed me to make those choices. But the things that God do requires what? Watch this. If it's something, write this down. I want you to write this down. If it's God ordained, it requires timing. Think about it. If it's God ordained, it requires timing. Why? Because you got to remember, just because God has his plan laid out for you, he has plans laid out for other individuals too.
God is complex. He's got a lady. He got Peter. He got what he got. Want Peter to do. He got what he wants Jeanette what to do. You know, he got what Francis. He wants Francis to do. He, you know, he got Pam want to do. And you know what? All of our lives, even right now, we all intersect each other. I know all of you are personally in some way, right? So therefore, this intersection of our lives. So what happens to Peter affects Jeanette. It affects Francis and it affects Pam. Why? Because we have intersection. So what happens to Jeanette affects Peter. And it also indirectly is going to affect Francis and Pam. This is why you ain't living for yourself. You can't. Don't be so selfish to think it's just about you. Because if I do something dumb, it affects everybody in this ministry. Oh, you over there to that safe house church, don't you? Ain't your pastor such and such. Y'all know how they talk. Sometimes that was you. Right? Well, you know, he did such and such, or this happened, or that happened. Yeah, that's how it goes. We know that. So, same thing. If you did something, it all matters. So here, find Jacob. He's so focused on that he doesn't enjoy the moment. So what I found is that even though I'm focused and this is good, and you know, you have to have focus to get things done sometime, but enjoy the wins along the way. I remember distinctly when I got my undergrad degree, I wasn't excited about it. I wasn't, you know, some people at graduation, they would follow how I was the best thing since sliced bread, this and that. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay. Because I had my mind on, I got to go to graduate school. And, you know, now sometimes I look in hindsight, I regret it. I missed the moment. I didn't enjoy that time with my classmates. I was just ready to get my degree, get my stuff in the car and go home. But I look in hindsight now, there were some things I missed. You know, there were family members who came to my graduation that are not even no longer here with us. And I look at pictures now and I see, man, that was my uncle Pearly here. And this is my uncle such and such here and my cousin there. And now they're gone and be with the Lord. But they thought enough of me to come down and celebrate with me. And I thought it was nothing. Just something else I'm supposed to do. Ask yourself today, how many of us just got this thing out? We just like, it's just something else I'm supposed to do. Now, granted, I'm not saying you get stuck on that. No, you do not get contemplate. Don't. I mean, not contemplate, but don't get satisfied just being where you are. I get that. Mm-hmm. But also enjoy what God has done. Because we don't know the day or the hour when the man of God is going to come back for us. But these things require what? Timing. So I was so, you know, stuck on what I wanted, that I missed all these pieces. You and I are here today, what, because of incredible timing. Do you not know my children did not come until it was time for them to be here? My wife and I was trying for baby. And 9 years later, we were married 9 years before we got our first kid. Timing. There was no infertility issues or nothing like that. But God's timing. It happened when he said we were ready for it. Even though we thought we were ready. I know I thought I was. But the truth of the matter is God knew what that child was going to bring. He knew what else it was going to bring. And what, you know, issues and concerns. And, you know, meaning that issues don't mean, even when you say the word issue, it doesn't mean something bad all the time. But he knew exactly what everything that was going to bring. So therefore, what? He needed to make sure that we were in the right space to be able to handle whatever came that way. God is a God of timing. No, I find it interesting, you know, right now my mother-in-law has been living with us, and this could have never really happened before. But, you know, we lived in our home, and we sold our home, and we built the home that we're currently in, and we built it with the space that, okay, we'll have this space just in case mom needs to ever come and, you know, stay with us long-term as she's getting older. And lo and behold, as soon as we built the house, that time came. Do you see what I'm saying? So God knows. And, you know, the time and the timing. So we have to trust his timing. So when we are focused, enjoy the moment. So if you notice it, what does Jacob say? Jacob said it was only like what? One or two days when he did this work. Because what? He was enjoying the work so much. It seemed like no time to do the work. So then that brings me to number three, lack of patience. The Bible said Patience is a virtue that I desire, right? That patience is a virtue. So if patience is a virtue, what is patience? You know what patience really is when it boils down to it? The ability to endure when provoked. Come on, somebody. The willingness to endure when provoked, meaning that, hey, I got reason to be mad. Jacob had every reason to be mad. They had an agreement. He said 7 years, and he did his 7 years, and now all of a sudden he changed the date. Let them say they're going to pay you on the 31st of the month or the 30th of the month, and then they said, nope, we're going to pay you we'll pay you in October. Not saying you ain't going to get paid, but we're going to pay you in October. So now you're sitting there thinking, okay, you done built up all this expectation. Now it's unmet, so now you're frustrated. Understand it'll be so. You done lost focus. Mm-hmm. Because now you're all over the place. Because now you what? You're in your emotion. And now what? You have no restraint. This is why patience is a virtue. Patience means self-restraint. That when I should, I have every reason to. I have every reason to want to go up here and go right upside somebody here. They deserved it. And they probably really did. They deserve to be cussed all the way out from the head to the toe. Come on, smile. This is where we live. Mm-hmm. But what we do is, the Bible said, we work in patience. And patience works endurance. It's not easy. Things I'm telling you today are not easy. These are tough. Can you imagine how tough it was for Jacob to do that work for 7 years, only to get up and realize that I was giving the ugly duckling? But like I said, God had a plan even in that. He did. So, patience. Work through it when you provoked. You got every reason. They did you wrong. Yes, and everybody else know it. Now what are you going to do? It's kind of like that thing, yep, I did it, and what you going to do about it? This is how Satan works. But you got to remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. This thing is above you. And it's not about you. It's a fight that's going on in the heavenlies. And you already know that you're going to win. So we got to be patient. And because we got to be patient, then that means what? It invokes our faith. Last piece on this, what I want to talk about. What is the other problem is? The truth of the matter is, some of us, our EQ is terrible. What is EQ? Your EQ is your emotional quotient. You just like you have IQ for your brilliance, you have an EQ. And that's your emotional quotient. Some of you can't handle yourself. Think about it here. Jacob had every reason to do anything and whatever he wanted to do. And Jacob could have done these things. And people would have been like, Ralph Crumbs would say, yeah, if I was Jacob, I would have did that. I'm reminded on just last week, again, I just use myself as an example. You all saw my post on Facebook about last week was the First Lady's birthday. And Pastor took her out to whatever restaurant she wanted to go to. And we went to this place. And it was horrible. We ended up spending $100 on a meal that we didn't even eat. Ate a little bit of it. And, you know, as I put it out there, because, you know, sometimes you got to call wrong out when wrong is wrong. And I put it out there, and I posted pictures, and I did pay for the meal. And I saw the crowds of people saying, there's no way I would have paid for that meal. And I get it. Been there. But I also know, what if I didn't pay for that meal? I know what other repercussions. Not that I'm saying I'm there, because I have a lot to work on my EQ. Because I was very upset that time. And I could have said some things to her, and she would have deserved them. And people would have been cheering me on. But at the end of the day, that would have been me that would have been tarnished. It would have been my image that would have been tarnished. Because just like everybody who agrees with me, there's a whole bunch of people who don't agree with me. Just like everybody who liked that post and everybody who commented, there's for everyone who liked it, I bet you there's 3 to 4 people who thought it was maybe tasteless. That I shouldn't have did that. Should have chalked it up. Or maybe I did something wrong. Or you shouldn't have went there to begin with. Mind you that for every cheerleader you got, you got 4 to 5 people who are not your cheerleader. And that's not your fault. The Bible says it like that. He said, knock the dust from your feet if they don't hear you, and you move on to the next city. Now, that's been something incredibly hard for me to do. So, yeah, I paid for the meal, and we left hungry. And we basically ended up getting some fast food or something like that. I hate it for my wife. It was her 45th birthday. Oh, I just told her the age. Sorry, babe. Love you. But wanted to enjoy that space because that was her day in the way I saw it. I wanted to do whatever she wanted to do after we was done with church. And it didn't work out that way. Was I upset about it? Yes. But working in with my EQ, I had to learn how to manage myself. Because at the same time, what if I went up and I cussed her out? Well, what you don't know is I walked into that restaurant wearing a Safe House Church mask. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? It says Safe House Church on the side. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? So here I am acting a fool, wearing a purple mask that says Safe House Church on the side. I'm embarrassing you all too, dear. Because we all intersect, right? Because from her point of view, because obviously she don't think she was right because she was at her point of view. And she would have been saying, well, you know what? He came in here with that church mask on. And then she leave with a bad impression of the church people. See, it ain't about the money. It ain't. Just like I got that money, God will open up a door and he'll bless me with something else that I didn't see coming. And I'll be all right. And you will be too. So sometimes it's about saving face for the emotional cue. Why? Because it's also me bearing witness to all these others on Facebook to say, okay, I might have handled that situation. And the truth of the matter is you don't ever know how you're going to handle a situation. I didn't know that's what I was going to do. But at that moment in time, I felt my spirit say, just pay the lady and just leave. Now, others, like you said, you know, they came and they offered this, they offered that. I was like, no, the damage was done. Appetites are gone. I don't want nothing else here. We're done and we'll do what we got to do. Are y'all with me? So this is what, watch this. This is what Jacob does. So yes, I think he's through having his temper tantrum. I think he's through whatever he's doing. He goes and says, hey, you cheated me. And he said, yeah, but I changed the rules. I moved the target. And because I'm the owner, I have the right to do that. Remember, y'all, we don't own this life. We don't own this world. The Bible told us what, that we're in the world and we're not of the world. So the target can change, and it often do. I've been in many situations. I feel like, okay, soon as I get here, y'all change the rules. I got several instances in my life. I would tell you all things that I was working towards, maybe even secretly, and I didn't tell nobody. And I got right there and got ready to go get it, and it changed. Let me give you a real world example. It's kind of like you see this car you want to go buy. Car maybe $30,000. And you say, okay, I got to save up to go get this. So now you've been saving to go get this car, this, this, and that, and all this thing. And now you got your $30,000. You about to go over to the dealership to go get the car. And when you get there, the car is now $45,000. And you're like, hold up, but last week I came down here, this car was $30,000. It's $45,000 now. Yeah, they are shortage on this car right here. So now the price, this is the price. But you changed the price just last week. You said this was the price, so I worked all week to make sure I can get this money so that I can come here and buy it at that price. But now you changed the price. Well, if you want it, this is the price now, and it's not budget. So either you come up with the money or you find something else to buy. Would you walk away hurt? Absolutely. Would you walk away frustrated? Absolutely. Would you even throw a fit, throw a temper? Yes, but it ain't going to change the fact that you don't have the car and you cannot afford it because the price changed. And oftentimes, you and I go through life, the price keeps changing. But how about you know that we serve a God who changes not? I'm so grateful that we serve a God who doesn't change. He said, I'm going to be here with you. You know, others forsake you. I'm going to be here. When you make your bed in hell, I'm going to be here for you. Because he doesn't change. Now, watch this. So, your emotional intelligence. So, what four things are you saying, Pastor? These are your problems. Your expectation. Change the expectation about the situation. Your focus. Don't be so focused that you miss the moment. Next part, lack of patience. Patience. You got to learn how to endure hardness as a good soldier. And they don't feel good, but it's going to make a nation out of you. Mm-hmm. And then what? Emotional intelligence. You can't just be going off and doing that. Yes, they did you wrong, but you don't know who else is watching. Just like this telecast, I don't know who else is watching. I don't. So therefore, I'm often, you know, careful. I try my best to be careful what I say. Not that I work off scripts, y'all know I don't. But I give y'all, it comes from the heart, and I give it with love and passion and everything I am. I do. So then, I mean, sometimes I do maybe say something I may have not said or didn't word it as strongly as it could have been worded. However, the emotional intelligence has to be there. Because they need to know that, okay, if I put you in this job and you have some setbacks, are you going to go nuts? If I put you over this ministry and somebody started to talk about you, are you going to fall apart? I need to know that if I bless you with these children, are you going to be over there and you're going to be borderline depressed because now you don't know how you're going to do this and do that? See, God knows us. He knows us in our intimate most being. He knows what you can handle and when you can't handle it. And I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, we have to trust God's timing. I believe that what Jacob, yes, he wanted, yes, he did the deal, yes, he did everything he wanted, but for whatever reason, there was some issues still in Jacob's character. Are y'all with me? There were some situations in Jacob's life that God still needed to work out of Jacob, and he was going to use Leah to do it. Woo! Yeah, right. Woo! Come on, y'all. I don't feel that. He was going to use Leah. Sometimes he uses the ugly things in your life. He uses the ugly situations to birth forth a nation. He uses the ugly things, things that you didn't see, things you didn't anticipate, things you didn't never knew. You didn't even see this coming. But he uses that to develop your character, to develop your EQ, to help you to say, hey, you know what? If I'm going to get there, when I get there, let me at least enjoy the moment. That I don't come in with these expectations. Are y'all with me this morning? That I don't walk in there with these. That I go forth and knowing that what God has got my back. You see what I'm saying? The anticipation of what God is going to do. The anticipation of what God is going to take you. So what is the solution? The solution of it is simply this, brothers and sisters. That we walk forward in faith. That we walk forward in faith, that we walk forward with knowing what singleness of mind, that we walk forward with an anticipation of what will happen, of what will come, and what God will do. You got to anticipate the next move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You got to anticipate the next move. Preston, Daddy's on the air. Hallelujah. We got to anticipate the next move. What God is going to do. We got to anticipate. We got to be, 10 steps ahead. This is how, Laban already had a plan. But if Jacob was paying attention, he would have saw this coming from afar. But Jacob was so caught up in who he was. Jacob was so caught up in doing what he's doing. Jacob was so caught up in going where he wants to go and saying what he wants to say and being who he wants to be. And having a great life and having a hot girl summer and all this stuff that he misses it. You knew he was no good before you got there. You knew she was bad for you before you went there. But you wanted what you wanted, so you had the singleness of mind. But I'm here to tell you today that God can put it all back together again. So what did we find there? Jacob does serve another 7 years. You know, he holds his emotional EQ intact. He walks in faith. He walks in faith. He has what? Singleness of mind, but he still also knows that, well, I got to enjoy what God has given me because nothing's promised to me. I'm here today, maybe be gone tomorrow. That I'm going to walk forward faith. For the Bible said, what? We have faith, you know, that we walk by faith and not by sight. That what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet, but the evidence of things unseen. And now I walk in what? In anticipation. I don't expect it, but I anticipate where the market is moving. I anticipate that this may happen. I may anticipate. So if you walk in anticipation instead of expectation, what anticipation says is this, that it's a possibility that it doesn't go this way. Are y'all with me? There's a possibility that it doesn't go this way. And since it doesn't go this way, I'm prepared for it. See, if Jacob could anticipate what was going to happen, he might not even slept with him, even though it ended up working out to his favor. See, that's what the Bible said. All things work together for the good of them that call to the Lord. All things work together for the good of them who are called to the Lord according to his purpose, right? You remember, you got to have purpose. So at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, you got to anticipate. Anticipation, what? That what? I'm looking ahead. I see. And if this goes this way, I got to go this way. And if that go that way, I got to go that way. You got to anticipate it. Not, you know, you want it to work out. You want it to go this way. You want it to be that. But what if it don't? God is still God. Because what? That timing is incredible. That timing is purposeful. That timing, you know, the timing, you know, timing is everything. Like I think about even to the point when I met my wife, I had seen Alicia so many times, but it was that time I saw her. Things were different. I typically wouldn't even be at church because I had just got back from school. And I went and I saw her there at the church. It was different that time. And I'm telling you, hang in there, brothers and sisters. It's going to be different this time. Walk in there with your emotional EQ intact. Walk in there with your faith intact. Your singleness of mind. I know they did you wrong, you know, but you can walk away. Why? Because people are watching. And they're going to learn God through you. They seen how you've been ran over. They see how you've been looked over. They see how you've been tossed about. And what? You kept your faith and you kept the integrity. And God is going to reward him. He said it like this. He said, if you suffer with me for a while, then you'll reign with me for forever. This part of it, this way is a suffering way. It's not pretty. There's some things you want to do, some things you want to say. But I trust God enough to know that he is going to make a way for my path. God bless you all. Love you all. Hey, I'm a little bit longer than I wanted to be this morning, but I hope that this has been a blessing to you. Moving targets. How do you deal with moving targets? You anticipate. You anticipate. Hope this message has been a blessing to you all on this morning. God has just been so good to us here at the Safe House Church, and I'm just so grateful to what he's doing here.